today as we come to the table.
When you're alone with your friends, when you're alone by yourself, guess who's there? God. Let them understand that. God is always with you. He is ever present. Why? Because when you realize you're being watched, you know it's bad enough if you think your parents are watching, right? How about here's God? And right there in their midst, the Lord himself in power and authority. There's nothing hidden. It's all out in the open. We're the ones that think it's hidden. Again, we think we can hide behind corners, you know, and get away with stuff. That's what children do. Not the case. God is with us everywhere. It says in Hebrews 4:13, and there's no creature hidden from his sight. None. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Think about the fact that God is always watching you. It can seem creepy, but it's only really uncomfortable if you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. If you're living with purity and integrity when the doors are closed, then God always watching you can be a comfort. He knows you and still loves you. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In his message today, Pastor Mark will challenge you to live your life like God is actually there in the room with you. Don't try to hide from God. He's everywhere and sees everything. Live your life in the open. Walk in the light. God wants to be with you, not to punish you from sinning, but to walk by your side and help you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Parents, if your daughter hasn't already decided beforehand what she's going to do in that steamy situation, she's probably going to fall. Not because she wants to, not because she doesn't honor God, but as a pastor, I've seen this over and over again. Godly young ladies who find themselves with a very handsome, pushy young man, and because they haven't made plans in advance, what do I do if this situation happens? Guess what? They give in. And they regret it the rest of their life. It's something they can never get back. Now, why do I say that? Not only so that we might understand it, but I want to say this. Listen, as moms and dads, let's teach our little girls. Let's teach our children. Let's teach our boys. Let's teach them what to do in situations of temptation. Honey, have you thought it out? Have you ever thought out a situation where maybe you're in a situation? Of course, you want to wait till they're age appropriate. What would you do? Well, I guess I would just say no. Wrong answer. If just say no worked, then nobody would smoke. Nobody would do drugs. Just say no to drugs. Remember the just say no to drugs campaign? Just say no just fails. Why does just say no fail? It's not realistic. It's not reality. We are weak. We're not going to say no. We're going to give in to our flesh if we're not prepared. So what do we have to do? We have to say, all right, if this happens, here's what I'm going to do. First of all, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I could fall. No dark rooms, no lights down, no romantic movie when no one's there. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to public settings. We're going to sit right in the middle of the restaurant and we're going to talk there. And we're going to make sure that we're above board so that we don't find ourselves even being tempted. But what if we find ourselves suddenly in a situation that we didn't prepare for and we didn't plan? We need to have a plan in place. Honey, what would you do then? Well, I don't know. I guess here's what you would do, honey. And then you teach them what to do. You share with them what to do. You instruct them in what to do. And when it happens, they're ready. They're prepared. It happens. It's not like, oh no, what's this happening? It's like, here it goes. I know what I'm going to do. And we're going to see in just a moment what Joseph does as far as all these different steps that he takes. But I think we need to prepare our children for this. Now, the third step we see Joseph employ in overcoming temptation is seeing sin as God sees it, and that is wickedness. Notice he says, how can I do this wickedness? It's interesting. Joseph calls her request for adultery great wickedness and sin against God. If we don't see sin as great wickedness like God does, well, we're probably not going to resist it. If I don't think it's so bad, why should I keep from doing it? But if I see it as God sees it, I'll realize that it is wicked and it destroys lives and it condemns souls to hell. And so again, we have to realize it is great wickedness before God. That is really the third step in realizing and how to overcome temptation. Scripture tells us we need to hate sin and love righteousness. Now, as a kid, I was told you should hate nothing. Here's one thing you're allowed to hate. Every one of you in here, you ready? You can be accused of a hater in this area. You ready? Hate sin. If someone says, you're a hater of sin, say, you're right, I am. I hate sin. Here's why I hate sin. Sin destroys lives, mine and others. And anything that destroys my life or destroys other lives, I hate it. And the Bible commands us to hate it. Joseph hated sin. He said, this is wicked. See, don't you understand? Listen, it's not that God's trying to keep us from pleasure and things that are pleasurable. God designed pleasure. God just says, do it the right way. Do it in line of scripture. And he says, I will bless you in that. And notice the fourth step in overcoming sin that Joseph uses here is, again, we already mentioned it, but his awareness that God was with him. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That is, God is always with us. That's the next step in being able to resist temptation. I think we also, as parents, need to understand this. First of all, we need to understand this ourselves. Then we need to teach our children, you know what? God's with you everywhere you go, honey. When you're alone with your friends, when you're alone by yourself, guess who's there? God. Let them understand that. God is always with you. He is ever present. Why? Because when you realize you're being watched, you know, it's bad enough if you think your parents are watching, right? How about here's God? And right there in their midst, the Lord himself in power and authority. There's nothing hidden. It's all out in the open. We're the ones that think it's hidden. Again, we think we can hide behind corners, you know, and get away with stuff. That's what children do. Not the case. God is with us everywhere. It says in Hebrews 4:13, and there's no creature hidden from his sight. None. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Joseph realized if he was naked and open, that God saw him naked and open because God was there. And so he watches him. But also in these verses, we come to the fifth step. And really, it all kind of culminates on these couple of verses. The fifth step, Joseph understood that he needed to do in overcoming temptation was remembering the word of God. You see, Joseph had to know the word of God to know that it was wickedness before God, didn't he? He had to realize that sexual immorality was wicked before God. Had he not known what God said about it, he wouldn't have known. He wouldn't have been prepared. And so the next step and the fifth step here is he remembered the word of God. You know, this is remember what Jesus did. Now, he didn't directly quote the word of God here, but he obviously knew the word of God pertaining to it. And this is what Jesus did to resist temptation in the wilderness. If you remember when Satan tempted him, what did he do? Guys, you ready? It is written. He used the word of God. Every temptation that Satan brought, it is written. And I encourage you with all my heart, in your areas of temptation, and you have them, every time they come along, you need to memorize scripture in those areas and then say, guess what? It is written. Say it. Quote it. Whether it's in your heart, your mind, or out loud, it is written. You shall not, thou shalt not, do not be deceived. And there's a lot of them that go with that. He understood the word of God and he knew how important God's word was. And he needed to memorize it and use it. But lastly, it is interesting to note here how Joseph and God viewed sex outside of marriage. Notice that, and this is stark to me in our society today. Notice he says it is great wickedness before God. That's interesting to me because how different that is from our society that views sex outside of marriage today as something that anybody can do whenever they please and they don't give it a second thought. It's no big deal. And yet in the halls of heaven, it is seen as great scandal and great wickedness. He says, how can I do this and sin against God? Notice, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or be with her. Notice this was not a one-time temptation, but notice she kept coming at him every day, day after day. And he kept resisting this temptation. How did he do it? I believe the way he resisted it was each day he ran to the Lord. He knew she was going to be there. He knew what was going to be happening. Joseph knew he didn't want to sin. He was going to God and saying, God, I need your power. I need your strength. You know that I'm only human. You remember that I'm only dust. Lord, you've got to touch me and I need your power. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my part, but Lord, you're going to have to do the rest. And that's all that God asks is that we do our best and we do our part. And then God says he will do all the rest. And this brings us to the sixth way we're to overcome temptation. And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe as Joseph ran to the Lord in prayer, he received power from God in prayer and therefore was able to have the victory. Again, we need power to be able to resist temptation. Zechariah 4:6 says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's me, God says, that you're going to need if you're going to be able to overcome this onslaught of temptation, especially coming every day. Now, come on, we get temptations every so often, don't we, guys, gals, every day? Can you imagine knowing that you went to work every day and there was someone there that was going to be coming on to you? For a man, it maybe she was very beautiful and attractive to the eye because that typically is what draws a man. And she's offering herself every day. For a woman, it may be the man who's very sweet and romantic and he tells her and compliments her all the time about how nice her hair looks and how well she's dressed and how pretty her nails are and how he likes her outfit and her husband doesn't do that anymore. When's the last time he ever complimented her? Oh, but this man, he always does. And she's already lonely. She's already hurting. Certainly God wants me to be happy. And God wants me to have more than I have here. And so you see how it begins to work. And every day you're going there, every day, every day. See, it's one thing if we can make a choice and say, I'm quitting that job because it's not worth it. I don't want to lose my family. It's another thing to be a slave and have to show up every day and have this woman coming on to him. And that's exactly what's happening. And note this, Satan's tactic is never to tempt us only once because he knows for most Christians that's not going to work. He's going to continue to come back until we finally give in or until he realizes that we're finally not going to. And then he'll flee from us. James 4:7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. If we resist, the devil will eventually flee. But we have to continue to resist. Notice, but it happened, verse 11, about that time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by the garment. It's like, look, I've had enough of these rejections. I'm going to take you for myself, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Notice this, had Joseph not been prepared in advance and been using the weapons that God had given him, this story may be quite different. But I believe preparation was the key here. And that's why we see he had victory. She basically said that if you want to undress yourself, I'll do it for you. But Joseph, notice what he did. He took off running. And here lies the seventh final step of overcoming temptation when all else fails. And that is run for your life. You know, you can only prepare so much. I can find myself in prayer and saying, Lord, I'm not going to do this. Lord, I'm not going to do that. Lord, I'm not going to do this. And then all of a sudden, there it is. And you know, you can't stop it. I remember one day traveling, you know, you're prepared, you guard yourself the best you can, you have, you know, the channels blocked at your home, you know, you have the internet protection on your internet, you have all the things that you can do in your life, and it's a nice little safe environment. Still, you run into situations, don't you? But I remember traveling one time and, you know, being there in a hotel room and it's nobody but me. Well, maybe, I don't know, Tracy was there or not, she may have been on this particular trip, but you grab the thing, you're going to check out the news or go to whatever and your friend on the channel, and boom, all of a sudden, guess what the hotel has? A station with pornography. Well, you don't know that. And yes, probably should have checked in advance. But poof, there it is. Uh-oh, you change it real quick. And that's decision time. It's decision time. The image has been thrown in your mind. You didn't seek it. You weren't looking for it. You didn't ask for it. You wanted nothing to do with it. But you're still human. And decision time. And the enemy comes in and says, hey, guess what? Nobody will know. You're on a trip. You're in a hotel by yourself. Who would find out? Come on, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal because God is here with me. And nobody else might know my cable channels, but God does. And what we do, we run. We run. And if it means turning the TV off and leaving that room and not turning it on again the whole time you're there, you do it. You flee. Whatever your episode of fleeing is, get out of there. You don't toy with it. There can be that negotiation thing that goes on, you know. Oh, well, this could be healthy for our marriage. You know, it'll bring excitement back into our marriage. We'll bring a little bit of this into our marriage. It'll bring excitement. Lies from Satan. It will destroy your marriage. If it's not your wife, it will destroy your marriage. Here's why. Longing eyes on someone else's wife, the Bible calls that adultery. If she's not your wife, it's adultery mentally. Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. And so we need to recognize these things and say, you know what? I'm fleeing from this. I'm going to stay away from this. I want nothing to do with it. Joseph is cornered. And there she is grabbing and saying, you will sleep with me. It wasn't decision time. Note that. That was not decision time. Decision time was a long time before that. Now it's time for action. What do? We run. We put on, as my kids say, my fast shoes, and we go and get out of there. And that's exactly what Joseph did. And sometimes that's the only option we have is to get out of there and to run. Oh, don't be so extreme, Pastor Mark. Certainly you could, you know, kind of stand there and talk for a while and just say, look, I'm not really that kind of guy. And I appreciate, you know, you obviously have recognized my, you know, beauty and my handsome and my body. You've seen that. You know, it's amazing to me, and I've heard other pastors say this. This is, why is it when, you know, these guys, a lot of these guys, and pastors, you know, you've seen pastors fall, and pastors get, you know, tempted and stuff, and they'll talk at pastors' conferences about, you know, these guys will share, you know, this beautiful woman, whatever. And he says, I'm in this place, and this beautiful woman comes on to me, and he said, I began to realize I've got this big pot belly. You know, I'm like 30 years older than I was when I was attractive, and why is this beautiful woman coming on to me? You begin to recognize, this is not normal. This is demonic. Satan is doing something here to cause me to fall. Don't be flattered by that. You know, somebody comes on to you, don't think you deserve it. Realize the enemy's at work. And say, you know what? I need to take action and get out of here and take care of this situation. I need to flee. I need to be gone because you know what? As soon as Satan gets a hold of you, he'll simply chew you up and spit you out. And I've seen that happen. I've seen people leave because of their lust and their desire or whatever and run off with someone and this whole thing or whatever. And oh, this is love. This is it. And my marriage wasn't good. And God will certainly understand this. And as soon as they're broken off, then what happens? They chew them up and spit them out. And the person usually leaves them behind in the dust. And Satan just standing there laughing and mocking because he knows exactly how weak we are and what he can do if we're not prepared. This was not the time of decision. He had made it before that, but he didn't negotiate. Now, I want to encourage you, listen, if you find yourself in a tempting situation, don't negotiate. Don't stand there and say, I can handle this. This isn't that big a deal. We'll talk about it. I realize you've seen now how handsome I am, and you recognize I'm handsome in form and appearance, and good for you. It's good that you notice that. But I'm not that kind of guy, and I'm not going to do that. No, you don't do that, because then it continues to go back and forth, and eventually there's the danger of giving in. We get out of there. Simply flee and simply run. If there's nothing else we can do, that's what we do. And now Joseph, he takes off running and leaves his garment in her hand. Notice, and so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her house and spoke of the same. See, he has brought this Hebrew in to mock us. Notice her respect for her husband. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and he fled and went outside. And so he kept his garment with her until his master came home. And again, notice in her humiliation, her rejection, and her anger, she makes up this vicious lie about Joseph. But it's not just Joseph. She's falsely accusing Potiphar. She says, he, this man who did this, it's his fault. And that shows us her heart as well, doesn't it? She already was in a place of disrespect for Potiphar. And so you can see how she could easily step into this. And then she spoke to him words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. And so it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. And so it was when his master heard these words, which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. I believe that although it says Potiphar's anger was aroused, I believe it was aroused initially, but it probably subsided shortly after that, realizing the kind of wife that he had. I think that Potiphar questioned his wife. I think that Potiphar looked at Joseph and said, you know what, he's a man of integrity. He's a man who's upright, and I've watched his life. And yes, he got angry at first. It's a natural response. It's a natural reaction. But I believe that it subsided to where his suspicions were probably toward his wife. And why do I say this? Well, because of the story. See, verse 1 tells us Potiphar was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. That means he was the chief executioner. He was the one in charge of punishing, torturing, and executing prisoners. If you really believe that Joseph had done this, what do you think he would have done? He probably would have used his authority to its full measure. And Joseph would have either been greatly tortured or Joseph would have been dead. I personally believe that he knew what kind of woman his wife was. Her disrespect had been shown before, her lack of love, her immorality, maybe. We don't know. But Potiphar had to do something. He was angry at first. He reacted. He put him in prison. And again, this would save face for Potiphar's wife. And no doubt he didn't remove Joseph because he realized in the position that he was in, the scandal that it would have been in the politics of Egypt had he admitted that his wife was an adulteress and taken Joseph out of prison. Let's just put Joseph in prison. It's a done deal. And now she can't chase after young men anymore. Of course, that's not going to work in the long run and doesn't tell us anything else about her. But the bottom line is that it probably got him out of a situation at the moment. Notice it says there in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Again, you would expect Joseph just got thrown in jail. You'd expect it to say, and again, God abandoned him. No, God was with him. And notice, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Again, God being with him, showed him mercy, gave him favor, you know. And again, if we remain faithful, God will be faithful to us. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there was in his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Notice, because of Joseph's character, integrity, and faithfulness, God gives him favor and position everywhere he goes. Isn't that interesting? Everywhere he went, whether he was a slave, whether he was in prison, because of his character and his integrity, God elevated him. What a lesson that is for us. You want to be elevated by the Lord? Guard your character, guard your integrity, and watch what God will do. But you know, it's also interesting to me how frustrating this must have been to Joseph that he'd done nothing wrong, but nobody knew it but God and Potiphar's wife. Guys, there may come times in your life where you're falsely accused in areas of character, in areas of integrity. And there's no way you can prove your character and integrity other than waiting and let God show the truth. When that happens, stand firm on your character and your integrity and trust in the Lord. The Bible says he will be your defense. You know, there's no doubt. I know that I've been accused over the years of false accusations. No doubt you've been accused over the years of false accusations. People have said things about you that aren't true. And no one knew the truth but you and God. What do you do in that situation? You trust in God. You realize, God, you know the truth. And you're the only one that I'm here to please. You'll take care of it. God will be your defender, and God will bring it to light in his timing. God will vindicate you. And so, again, we see Joseph now being faithful to the Lord and God continuing to bless him. Guys, as we finish this today, a couple of questions to ask. And really one main question is really what I want to leave you with. Are you facing temptation today? Now, that's kind of a silly question because if you're not, you will be soon. We live in a world of temptation, don't we? Well, you want to be an overcomer or you want to be one that falls? Let me just say this. There are certain steps we can take to make sure that we're not going to fall. What are those steps? Let me just recap them again. First of all, we have to have a genuine love for God as Joseph did. Secondly, we have to have a plan for success in advance of temptation or we're going to fall. Thirdly, we must view sin as wickedly as God does and therefore take it serious. Fourthly, we must remember that God is always with us in everything we say and do, which means he sees everything we're doing. Puts a healthy fear and accountability in our heart. Fifthly, we are to use the word of God as our sword for battle because that is how the enemy is defeated. Sixthly, we are to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit as we spend time in prayer and ask God to fill us fresh each day. And lastly, when all else fails, we are to flee. Get out of there. And if we do these things, we, like Joseph, will be overcomers of temptation, and we too will find favor with God. Now, let me leave us with this. Listen, some of you are saying it's too late. Great sermon, Pastor Mark. Like it. Appreciate all the points. You're a couple years too late. You're a month too late. You're a week too late. You're a day too late. And here's the bottom line. It's never too late for the Lord to forgive and for us to start again, is it? The Bible says if we confess our sin to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is one of the scriptures I have memorized. I cling to it with all my heart because I know me and I need it. And I say, thank you, God, that we can start over. And you know what? You can't go back and you can't change anything you failed in the past, but you can say from this day forward, I'm gonna follow these steps. I'm gonna set up boundaries and I purpose in my heart now, Lord, to follow you and to be pure before you the rest of my days. And if anything, what I have seen, Lord, in my fall is that I am vulnerable. And now that I recognize I am vulnerable, I will set up guards and boundaries to make sure it never happens again. That will please the Lord and that will give you a successful walk with Jesus Christ from this point on. Let's ask him to help us do it. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be overcomers when it comes to temptation. And Father, we know that in order to be overcomers, it's not just having a heart that wants to do it. It's taking the proper steps and walking in your power so that we can. Lord, help us to apply these steps to our life. Help us to apply these situations, Lord. The things that Joseph went through, help us to remember it, God. And Father, I know that if we do that, we will find success and we will be successful. Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. As you said, it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. But God, your word also says, with you, all things are possible. I pray that you would not only teach us now, Lord, and help us to protect ourselves in the future and be overcomers in temptation. But Lord, I also pray that for those of us that have already fallen, Lord, that you would help us to realize your forgiveness and your mercy if we'll simply seek you, Lord, ask forgiveness and repent, and then start from this day forward. Lord, you are so good to us, and I thank you for your death on the cross that makes forgiveness possible. We give you glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis. But next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.